The book of Luke chapter 22. Just one verse I want to pick from there. Now, he was going to give them subsequent instructions, but he didn't want them to misunderstand what he was saying. So he reminded them of something. Maybe, okay, let me read this. We're already here. We'll now go back to where the commandment actually started. He said to them, verse 35, and he said to them, when I sent you out without money, belt, and bag, and sandals, he said, you did not lack anything, did you? Now, this is a New American Standard. He's turning it around. Actually, what he said, he asked them, did you lack anything? Literally, in Greek, what he said, did you lack anything? And they said to him, no, nothing. We lacked nothing. Please notice that. So he said to them, when I sent you out to preach the gospel, I told you not to carry money, not to carry a traveler's bag, not to carry any extra supplies. He said, at that time, did you lack anything? And they said, they did not. At what point did he actually send them? Did he send them like that? Please just quickly go back to the book of Luke. Would I read 9 or 10? Luke, let's start from... Okay, Luke 9. Now notice what he said. He said, and he called the 12 together, verse 1, and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Look at what he said to them. Take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have 2 tunics apiece. Then he gave them this instruction further. He said, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from their city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Please know these instructions. Now, what I want to emphasize here is that he told them that go out, don't worry about the supplies you will need. Just follow the instructions I have given you. Are you getting my point here? Yeah. Now, these were the instructions he gave to people that he sent out to go and preach the gospel. Now, please notice that I just want to read something further. The same thing. If you go to chapter 10, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. That's chapter 10 now. And what did he say to these ones? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Bishop Oedipo used to tell us that this means don't lobby. Don't look for connections. Just go about your business. Then he told them, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Now, let me just stop reading here. Okay? But I just read this to bring us to a particular issue. Now, think about it. The Lord was sending people out to go and preach the gospel. They are going to go from place to place. And he told them, don't make any preparation for your supplies. There was something Bishop Oedipo said once, very interesting. He said somebody asked him that he was going out to full-time ministry, what we call full-time ministry. And he asked him that, how much money do you have saved up to start this thing you want to start? And Bishop said, none. And if I had any, I have to spend it first before I start. Why? He said, carry no extra money, carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, don't greet any man on the way. I'm not supposed to lay up. I remember those days. We're young people, of course, so it makes a lot of sense that we'll talk foolishly, all right? It's good to talk foolishly when you are young. It's very important. So that all your foolishness will finish at that time. So when you are older, you will not repeat some things that, you know, like some men I know, I'm not mentioning their names, all right? They were working on certain realms in these mysteries of the ancient immortals. So as spiritual people, they were planning to, in this same body, walk through walls. And I'm looking at them like, you want to do what even the Lord did not do. So you walk through walls, all right? It's good, you know? I can laugh about this, and we can laugh about them. But I think if you did not do that when you were young, you're not serious. It's a sign that you were serious. Then God now said, oh boy, before you kill yourself for me, he now corrects you. T.D. Jakes said, as young Christians, to practice faith, he will close his eyes and cross a road. Oh yeah. I see the way all of you are covering your faces and like, what did he do? Yes, he did. I'm just trusting the Lord to take care. He will close eyes and... Will I recommend it? No. But if you were young, you passed through the teaching of faith, you didn't do crazy things, you were not serious. You were not serious. Ah, no, you were not serious. We did very funny things. Like they say, walk by faith. I said, we have to walk. But my parents were not doing badly at all. My parents will always send you money. So I said, no, I have to walk by faith too. So instead of telling them that money was finished, you know, I refused to talk. That I want to walk by faith. Now that was foolishness, but it was a sign that we were reading books and we're willing to, you know, exert ourselves to hear some of those things. Look back now, say, boy, don't do it again. If any of my children come and try that nonsense, I say, oh boy, I have done that foolishness. Go and find another foolishness to do. Don't do the one that we have done. It wasn't faith. It was foolishness. Just by the way, I'll get back to what I'm saying, just to help people. How do you practice faith? You practice faithfulness. That's how you practice faith. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. That's not allowed. We got away with it because God realized that we were foolish. So he just overlooked it and kept us. The real practice of faith is to practice faithfulness. For example, talk about believing God for money. If God gave your parents the ability to keep you supplied, it's not a sin. Are you getting my point? Stop admiring the faith of those who came to school without anything. You came to school, they gave you everything. Is that okay? It's not a sin. You didn't sin. I mean, what kind of parents would your parents be if they had the ability to give you everything and they did not? Someone now comes to fellowship that when I came to this campus, I had nothing. Brethren, 2 years now I have not lacked. And you look at yourself. That are we serving the same God? You now deny your parents, deny their money. God will let you suffer well. Because you see, different people have different paths in life. Do you understand? So, now, but if you had a lot of money like that, what are you supposed to do to boost your own faith? It is simple. Practice faithfulness. Listen, it's exacting. It's a lot of faith to see what you can afford. And you tell yourself, I don't need it. Do you follow my point? If you're in that position, you will know what I'm talking about. You just say, a lot of the countries people live in, Nigeria, well, we have not really reached that point yet. Our structure is slightly different. In most other countries, those so-called economically advanced countries and all of that, a lot of people are in debt, not because the economy is bad, but because how not to take the latest iPhone is a challenge. What's the new iPhone that's out now? Not the one that's coming out, the one that's already out. 16, okay. They have a 14 that's working well, but he has a regular job. And the phone company just tells him he can trade that one in. They'll give him 16. He's paying monthly. He doesn't need it. 13 is still working. Okay, he was using 14. He's still working very well. He's had it for just less than 2 years. Everything about it is still working very well. But it's so easy to get. See, monthly, maybe all he needs to add to what he was paying before was just $20 a month. Maybe not even 20, maybe $10. Return this one, add $10 to what you were paying before. Let me not give wrong figures now, all right? I can't remember the way their things work now. But it's at least double-digit money. It's not $100. No. And this covers all your local calls, covers your mobile data up to a particular level, and you get the latest phone. See, and you have a job. To say no, the Holy Spirit has to enter you. There's only one small problem. You say, it's not too much money. But that's how they did to you with the television. There was nothing wrong with the one you were using. You had a 65-inch. They just brought this new 75-inch out, which will look nice on your wall. You can even trade this one in. Or you can just discard this one and get another one. And what you're... Now, again, most of those guys don't buy cash for anything. What you are paying is just $20 extra.
See, the only problem is that you don't realize, by the time you put 20, 30, 50, every month, by the time you're done, you are living on edge. So a lot of people complain. God's saying, like, Banky, see, he has no problem. Let me tell you his problem. His phone has to be the latest. His TV has to be the largest. Do you get my point? Now, where I'm going is that it takes faith when you have abundance to manage your life. It takes faith. One of our brothers told me that in their company, they earn very well. It's a big company. They earn very well. So you ask people for money, please, can you have 10? Can we have 10? And they don't have. A lot of people, and I talked about it last time, they just wake up in the morning, create needs. May God help you not to create needs. Just create needs. They just create needs. You see a man, his children are going to university, they are doing very well now. Suddenly he has this idea. And listen to me, it's a spirit. They call just prospers him. Like now, if you're living in Nigeria right now and you want to relocate to a place like Canada, you have to be rich. Poor people don't do it. Judah was telling me yesterday that the current bill is like 40 million. Do you hear what I said? The current bill to relocate, is it one person you mentor, a small family? Yes. So you want to go and do masters, this and go and that. One person. Locate yourself. 40 millionaire. Now you know, if God never allowed your account balance to cross 500,000, you will never have that idea. You will never. See, there are ideas you don't have. And you can't have. There's nothing that wants to possess you to have certain ideas. Because even God is saying to you, my son, this is, you won't hear. There are things he wants to tell you, but he can't hear it now. You will tell the Lord later. But if suddenly somebody gives you income regularly every month, you can push 1 million, 1.5, then the idea of taking a loan suddenly starts. The idea of selling your car suddenly comes. The idea of having a few friends help you suddenly will arrive. Then 40 million naira is not so far away. Because once you hit 5, you realize that 10 is not too bad. And once you hit 15, 40 is just around the corner. That is why a man that has 15 million naira suddenly starts needing 25. And you that have only 1 million, you're wondering why you don't have needs. That's what happens. Please, can I give you a testimony? No, really, I need to give you this testimony. In my life, I've hardly needed money. I'm not saying I've never. It's a rare thing. Very rare. What? You always had a lot of money? No. You should have gotten the point from what I'm telling you now. I told you when I was young, that was a junior resident in Lagos. I didn't even go to where they sold new shirts. I had a friend who worked in, okay, let me not mention their name. There was one exclusive, what they call clothing company in Lagos, where they sold the equivalent of one shirt for $200. Yeah, not two, one. I remember the name of those shirts. We'll go there. I used to go and hang out with him. We'll sit down. Do you think I prayed for one? I just wondered at them. David said, they are too wonderful for me. I left the wonder, you understand? No, really. I didn't have any problem. Now, in the midst of all of that, I knew how much they sold nice shirts, but my friends and I want to buy shirts, we go to the back of Mandela's, where one shirt was exactly 500 naira. Yes, that time, it was 500 bucks. And that 500 naira was equivalent of, dollar was like 70. So it was like $12 equivalent. That's what we bought. And we're happy, don't think we're angry. So when people said they needed some things, I couldn't understand. One day, a friend of mine told me how I should buy a car. I said, okay, he explained to me, all right? I said, you know what I do. We work in the same place. You know how much money I have. Please, be nice. Explain to me how I'm supposed to go through to accomplish this thing you're saying. He gave me ideas. I was looking at this guy that will save this money up to this level. That cannot be possible. He now said, all this money you are giving out, you will stop. I looked at him like, you want me to die a poor man? That is, you want to wreck my faith. Now, I was not a seed sower. I've never been a seed sower. Look, I sowed seed only once in my life. And you know what the Lord did with the seed? That, you know what? He collected it, put it down. While I was watching it, he used his heel and crushed it. It was only one time I sowed seed in my life. So, but I've God helping me. I've always been somebody who gave. So, but I also understood there was a sign of my faith. They couldn't sit down there, say, I'm believing God for a bright future. And I say, the way I'll do is be saving the money so that the money will be complete to buy a car. The bishop taught us those days. I can never forget that expression, which can catch fire. And have you ever seen cars catch fire? You will be surprised that they are made of metal. You say, no, this must be of wood. You say, it's in burning. You say, okay, that's a wooden car that they imported to Nigeria. It's not wooden. It's the way it burns. It burns as if there's no metal in it. I've seen it before. Once I saw a brand new Land Cruiser catch fire. Yeah. That time, of course, the price was different. I saw, you know the thing? It was burning. My wife, she might remember, we were together. We were coming from, either going to Lagos from Benin. Yeah. I just saw the thing there beside the road. No. Flaming, you know, just full flames, burning. I told my wife, I gave her I didn't know that kind of thing. I gave her the price. Let's just assume it's today now. I looked at it, I said, see 100 million naira on fire. And it was burning as if it was real cash that was burning. What am I talking about? You know, a lot of people manufacture problems. And they don't realize that's what they are doing. You just wake up, manufacture a problem that will take away your peace. I've seen people before, let me say these things. They're not good for us to say, but there are people out there suffering needlessly. This holiday now, I don't see why my children cannot go abroad for holiday. Let me just tell you, in case you don't know, God is angry with you. Did you hear what I said? Hey, I'm his servant. He puts his word, his spirit on my lips. And he said, I should tell you, you're a very stupid child of mine. I'm angry with you. That's your problem now. See, I'm saying this all the time. There are problems I've not had. God has helped me. See, I'm a very blessed man. I've never had to bat an eyelid to pay children's school fees. Never. I never had to think about it twice. Oh, you have a lot of money. No. Yes, the answer is first, yes. But secondly, my eye is not haughty. My heart is not proud. Which one is haughty or proud? David said it. You said you don't know. Okay. But both of them are haughty and proud. I have not involved myself in matters too difficult for me. No, I can't. God has helped me. See, I can't see. Federal government is giving me free education for these children. I will not be looking for a dollar to pay their school fees. I'm not that stupid. And that session is coming now. I have three children in university. I can pay their fees from change. All of you. And one of them is in the private university. Three of them in university. Okay. Oh, but have you finished? Oh, got masters. Because I wanted to add you, you're number four. Am I paying fees again? Okay. I just want to know whether I'm still paying fees. So I won't count it. There are four of them, all right? But he's a postgraduate student, okay? I've paid the last fee. Let's even assume his own is still. I'll add everything together. And, see this tall Reverend Yinka. God, they help. God will bless him for me. Yeah, he will. A lot of times, I say, even my own children, I tell them, go and talk to Tall Reverend. Please, go and talk to Uncle Yinka. I don't want details. Details have a way of giving me heartburns. You know, you start having reflux. Details. I said, okay. He said, okay, so sir, I talked to Benga. You know, he said, what's the summary? Okay, this is the amount of money. I just wire him the money. I don't want details. I don't want receipts. I don't want anything. Let the boy just be going to school and don't give me a headache. I will not be monitoring how much dollar is going for. No. Damn it. It's not good. God will be angry with me. I need to pray. I need to write books. I need to preach message. Yesterday now, we're here recording. Judah, what were you recording yesterday? True spirituality for Pastor Banky in 10. Today now, I'm preaching to you. I've given lectures for over two hours today. No. I should be going to the bank and be arguing with the bank manager. No. I refuse that. I refuse it. Say, if you go to school, yeah, go abroad, it'll be better for you. Listen, you that's talking, where do you go to school? Here. Did you not go to that same country and you are competing with them? Yes, ma'am. What's all of this nonsense? If you now know more of my classmates who are university lecturers, professors in the United States. I told you my friend is a professor of petroleum law in Texas. We're the same set, University of Benin here. Do you know how many? See, I mean, that first degree, all of us cooked it together here. And nobody's looking down on them anywhere. So please don't insult my intelligence. A lot of you just get up and create problems. Let me talk about it. Suddenly, we are talking about sexual immorality. We don't want adultery. Then your wife will leave you. You see her once in 6 months because you have money. Pointing to somebody out there. I'm beating somebody. Yeah. Your head is not correct. I just wake up in the morning, create problems. I was teaching students this morning. I said, can you imagine? You're in class. And you say, where would this country be in 10 years? God will slap you. It's called worry. Your current worry should be the next exam. It's 3 months away. How do I remember all these things they've taught us about hypertension, heart disease, leg disease, nose disease? That's your current worry. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And you'll be telling me what will be the country in 10 years' time. You are 20-something. 30 years ago, did you know what the country will be today? Your father had not married your mother. You were not born. Now you are in your early 20s. And you've learned the habit of worrying what the country will be like in 10 years. Oh boy, pass the exam first. Then, in quote, sufficient to the day is evil thereof. So worry in quotes now, about the next exam. What about the next textbook? Do you know, go and read my article. Keep on trucking. By the time you do like this and taking it one step or the other, you will be 100 years old. You will have fulfilled your destiny. Your children will have been blessed. You will have affected your generation. And you realize that you never had any problems. And those people who have worried and worry, they are not even as satisfied as you are. They don't get the same length of life. They don't have the same peace of mind. See, I keep on saying this. I'm not against some people doing some things, but know who's doing what and who is not doing. Judah was telling you the other day, one of my relatives, okay, he walked and told his father, well, he lives abroad anyway, he came from there to come and meet his father, say he wants to go to school. So the father said, yeah, he wanted to do postgraduate. So the father said, okay, how much is school fees? Yeah, he's doing the admission. If his school fees was $13,000, he told the father $15,000. And I was present when the man counted $15,000 in cash and gave him. I made a joke of it. That he scammed his father of the two. And he said, look, he doesn't want to work. He wants to be eating. So I added money. His father, take. Thank you. Pocket down. Take the next plane. Go back. I'm not joking about it. So you don't see people. We're taking loan to buy dollar. Are you mad? There's no man I know. I know his children. He said, look, anywhere they want to go into school. The man is a very interesting man. God bless him. With all the money he has, he said all his children must go to school where he can see them, where he can just jump on you anytime he wants. First degree. So packed all of them to a private university in Lagos. That he wants to be able to see them going to school. That when they graduate, there's no problem. And really, I was talking to one of his sons, what's the plan? The school he wants to go to is 30-something thousand euro. He knows his father will give him the money cash. Not somebody who's collecting salary from University of Nigeria here. And then he has to say, begging the landlord, please now, you know the way country is. Because your son called that he needs just $7,000 to balance his school fees. You should know that there are things that are too wonderful for you. It is too wonderful for you. Don't do it. I mean, do you follow my point? When I say I've always had money, I don't mean I've always been rich, I have a lot of things, but God has always helped me. From time. I know they worry myself for. You don't have a car? I say I don't have. Why? I say I don't have money. I've told you, ladies, stop asking questions that means, oh boy, deceive me small now. A lady asked me that once. Me and her go to church. I said, how come? Ah, Brother Banky, how come you don't have a car? I said, I can't afford it. So it's like, what do you want me to say? I can't afford it. It costs more money than I have. Are you stupid? I mean, what do you want me to say? If I earn money at the end of the month, it comes to 6,000 naira. They are selling the cheapest one of that of the good ones. My cousin was selling for 200,000 naira of those days. And my salary was 6,000 naira. Are you asking me how come I don't have? You're asking me how come I don't have? What is wrong with you? You want me to start telling you stories that they have not made the model that I really like? To her straight, oh yeah, I don't have the money. Bishop Oyedepo said, life is in phases, men are in sizes. Oh boy, stop borrowing money to go and do masters. Please, I'm begging you, stop. If you want to do masters, go to UNN. Okay, you don't like the own here, go to Covenant, go to Pan African University. Pan African now in Lagos. Go to Babcock. There are schools that, yes, they are private, they have some strong mission backing. And it's not cheap. It costs a bit of money, but it's only a fraction of the one you are begging for. And this day and age, I need to tell you, there's nothing you want to learn that cannot be taught anywhere. You must go that abroad, ask of scholarship. They won't give it to you, you are not going. Yeah. Then I said, look, I have a lot of brain. I can create monkey out of peas. If you give me the scholarship, watch me do it. They didn't give it to you. When they send the tuition, say, person no good job. Tell them, I'm sorry. Thank you for your scholarship, but I know that I didn't come with upkeep and all of that. For that reason, it's going to be difficult for me to exercise this in my advanced brain if I have to be flipping burger in between classes. They will write you back and say, okay, the money is not much. We can only give you $1,000 a month. Say, hey, God bless you. And if they don't write you back, tell them, thank you very much. I'm not coming. But some people, they've spot name. See, let me just say, if you're listening to me for a brother like that, just board the next plane and come back home. They spot everybody. Their father is owing his friend. Their mother is owing her friend. They can't take calls now. Because you thought that once you get to UK, now, they are protesting against you in UK now. Now, every night, you're having panic attack. Now, the witches are back to chasing you. They stopped long ago, but they are back. You get my point? Anytime you sleep, you wake up during the night. Your heart is cut. Because, oh boy, when you total all the money, your father, your mother, and you are owing together. That's 60 million naira. I'm not kidding. These are things that go on. Let me tell you something I've said many times. You will not get to where God did not plan for you. With all that running up and down, you won't get there. If you did not do it, where God was planning to get you to, you will still get there. You will get there with peace of mind. When I say God has laid, see, I'm not joking. What I've always done is, I just look at my size. God taught me that in early. I use faith to collect big things, but the big thing has to come. I said, I won't change my life. I won't change my direction because of something I want God to do for me. I said, which direction does he want me to go? I face that direction. I can ask God for anything. I can ask him. If you know some things I've asked him for, you will like, Pastor, I thought you I didn't say I don't like God to do big things for me. I don't harass myself over them. Like I say all the time, if my car is bad, I need a new one. Those are what I used to do. I take the old one and go and repair it and drive it well. And because it took me a very long time before I had my first car, God didn't pass me through that before, all right? But the kind of person I am is that if a car gives me too many problems, I will pack it. Pack it. And go and enter bus. I never had a problem with that one. I had a colleague, just that he backslid later, from good behavior. But he used to do some of those days. When fuel is very scarce, the guy will literally jack his car, remove the tires, and put the tire inside. What was his reason? He said to buy fuel is too difficult. So that he didn't go anywhere or enter the bus. That's one thing God has helped me with for a very long time. The other day, God sent a man. There was an issue. I won't give details now. It was my children's schooling. Something happened. There was a small delay that was coming up. So I said, let it not be that Money is not the reason why I don't want to. So I told my wife, we just said, no, let money not be a hindrance. Okay. But God now sent me to one of my very senior colleagues. So I was not talking with him. I said, so I was thinking, let me take my children to this place. He looked at me. He said, Pastor, do you have money from a place I don't know about? That was the question I asked. He said, why do you want to stress yourself? Say your children are still young. Please, we'll take care of them. Tell them to just give us more time. When I went out, when I saw my wallet, I said, I took that as the word of the Lord. He now told me a story. The way God wants to help you. He told me a story of one of our colleagues. That's how that one was doing. He carried picking go one school. To enter, first year was maybe like 5 million naira or so. It was not a problem. The man paid. Then they now wrote him, when the child was reaching the second year, they now wrote him a letter about review of school fees. You don't get it. You send your child to a university to study for 6 years. 6 years. First year you paid with a bit of dyspnea, with a bit of difficulty in breathing, you paid. Second year you paid with a bit of irregular heartbeat. Then the third year they now wrote you that your difficulty in breathing, your regular heartbeat is not enough. They want to take part of your kidney. And this is just for the third year. So the man said, that guy now came back to this old man, this senior man. I said, oh God, deliver me. The same university I had done Shakara for, they now started using all the leg, all the connection to bring the child back to that same university. But most likely, drop 1 year at least. At least now the man can breathe. His heartbeat is now regular. And his kidneys are relatively intact. When the man told me the story, I went and told my wife, I said, I think God spoke to us. There's no need to be stretching your faith needlessly. In fact, I came to one of my kids, I said, can we have a deal? What's the deal? Relax. You go to school just 1 year, all right? Which has passed since. So this 1 year has seriously passed since that time. I said, but when you are graduating, I will calculate all the money I will have paid as school fees. We'll share it. The one that is remaining will be enough to buy you a car. I said, I'll give you as a graduation present. Ah! He said, 1 year. 1 year is my portion. I receive. Because the money those guys were asking for, even with today's cost, two years tuition, we bought a very sharp one. Brethren. He said, hey, no, your faith, have you ever given that amount of money by faith? You see, when he bought it, that it's faith. I said, have you used that amount of faith to give? That's how you know whether your real faith is about faith or you're just obujuli doing bad thing. Why have you not stressed yourself for generosity with that kind of faith? It is when you now want to harass the whole world. When I say, needing money like that, God has helped me for a long time. The only time I had that kind of need that I went to prayer on money was 3 years ago. And it was Bishop that caused it. Wrong calculation, wrong everything. Wrong, so not wrong, but you know, it just happened. I look, I say, Bishop, this amount of money, if they told you I had that amount of money, will you believe it? He says, sir, but you know, he didn't realize that I went and prayed. And God gave me wisdom, because that's how he solves the law of my prayer, just wisdom. Let me not talk about that now. But the major thing is that I don't worry myself. Why did I start talking about this? Too many people get up and do what? And create problems. They create problems. You create problems. There are things you're not supposed to wait, like wedding ceremony. It's not something you go and be downloading pictures of when Dangote's daughter wedded. Do you follow my point? You want to wed now. You're not downloading silly pictures. You don't worry yourself. And some of you go and miss serious husband because you know you can't afford it. God will soon give you a man that can afford it, if you know what I mean. There are people who can afford some things and they can afford other things. Let me give you what I mean. He will give you meat according to your lust and then send leanness into your soul. There are things you should just be very careful of. Listen, listen. You can make decision. Can you marry everybody? Huh? Please. There are things that God judges. Be very careful when you are treating children of God. Never look down on anybody and never oppress anybody. God judges those two things. And he will make sure you know that it's unto you. If you're a single woman, bro, come say, marry me. You don't have to marry him. I mean, look, if you were young for a long time, you will get like 10 of such people. Half of them are not serious. Of the five, other half that are serious, you can't marry all five. Do you understand? It's only one. So it makes sense that you will refuse some people. But listen, if you ever look at anybody, like, insult. Hey, man, begin, I don't see you. This one too. See that hand you did, you will cry. Trust me, you will. I know what I'm telling you. If you don't want to marry, say, bro, I have prayed. And be sincere. I don't believe it's the will of God. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody I don't like you. I mean, like, what I mean, say, don't tell him or don't tell him like that. I mean, what I mean is this. What I mean is that I don't believe it's the will of God. You understand? It's not a thing. And go and practice rejection speeches. I want to tell you I feel honored. And that's not a lie. And make sure you feel honored. But I believe that the direction that our lives are going, the way God planned it, it doesn't look like it's together. But I pray for you that the Lord will, you know, just speak all the Christianese, the nice ones, and let bro go. If you look down, hey, see, exactly, see this one. Hey, is that how you looked at? Oh, okay, pastor said we shouldn't talk negatively, but okay, no. But inside your heart, you have felt this, no? How do you call it? You have felt insulted. That God can. See, God, you are called proud, number one. And God has a habit with children of God who are proud. He humbles them. He will humblify you. You like my English there? He will take you, will humble. Better, see, humble yourself. Humble yourself. You must humble you. Deliberately humble yourself. Second thing I said, just by the way, I said, never try that one. Never oppress anybody. That one is worse. God will physically injure you. I told you a true story. On the first one, my friend told me, this is a family friend. No, not family friend, like personal friend. Yeah. His wife was telling us the story. That her elder, her brother wanted to marry. All right? A girl he liked. And their big sis, all right? Was like a mother to them. You know, they have sisters that are like that. They're like mother to the younger ones. The big sis disapproved. What's the problem? Didn't like the girl's legs. That one was markedly shorter than the other. That's it. He refused. And the guy agreed. I went. I married somebody with perfectly normal legs. The first two children had short legs.
Jesus.
Yeah, first two. Now, the person telling me the story happened to her brother, not somebody that wrote it in a book. That the person who did it is my mother. Her own mother. Sorry, let me get it right. Yes, her brother, yes. The person who did it is her mother. Yes. It's her mother. And this person is her brother. No, there are things that God will do. You just know, say, God say, Nami, I came. I was deliberate. And listen, there's healing. All you just need to do is pray and say, God, okay, sorry. That is, sorry. You'll be amazed. Miraculous power will enter your house. But God said, you got to get my point. There are things that God will do. You just know, say, he's marking me. The day I know, say God, I've got many things happened in my life. The day I know, say God, the answer of prayer is the day I went to pray. I've told the story before. My final year exam, final surgery. Man, things have been rough. Not my fault. Not like I was a bastard, but that time I learned a lot of lessons of students. I knew how to do. I was very sensible. Except that life has what?
Traps.
They went on this riot, strike. They said we should get out of the hostels. Our dean said, you can leave the hostel, But clinical postings, I will not suspend. Okay, I was boosting now. People were, you know, managing here and there. Make it long story, I had no way to manage. I just got tired of just suffering like this. I remember one day I was drenched in the rain because I was homeless. So I got up. I decided to go home. Say, it's enough. When they reopened the hostels, I will come back. So weeks of postings had passed. I was in my house. They reopened the hostels. I came back to school. Exam was now knocking around the corner. My friend and I, we're a gang of, we're to behave funny. Both of us had missed a lot of posting. But he was even better than me. So I had 2 weeks left for my senior surgical posting. I did everything I could. Exam was now around the corner. That day I climbed. I still remember the place where I climbed to the top of one of our hostel buildings. I said, "Dear Lord, things are awful." We had done the written work. I didn't do too badly in my assessment. It was not clinical work. And that's where your clinical posting will speak. Clinical work don't come. It was now, I asked, okay, what do we do now? I went and prayed. I said, "God, please, can I beg you?" I said, "I want to pass this exam, but can I beg you? There's this particular professor. He says he's a very difficult person. Can you keep him away from me?" I said, "Number two, a case of hernia, there's something about it." He said, "They don't allow mistakes there." I said, "You know, I will make mistakes. So please, take hernia away from me. I don't want those two cases. I don't want that prof. I don't want the hernia." And the Lord said, "All right." So I prayed a prayer in Jesus' name. I prayed, "Amen." And I was about to leave. And I heard, now this happened twice. I first prayed about the professor. And when I finished, a thought came to my mind. Is it that you don't want that prof or you want to pass? I said, "I want to pass." I said, "Okay." So forget the prof. I said, "Okay, so Lord, it's not about the prof. I just want to pass." Then I prayed the second one. I don't want the hernia. Then the thoughts came again. Is that you don't want the hernia or you want to pass? I said, "I want to pass." I said, "Okay, so forget the hernia." I said, "Okay, Lord, forget the hernia." Next day, let me make a long story short. Time for my long posting. As I got to that person's, the patient, this thing, I saw it was a case of what? Hernia. All right, I looked at the Lord. All right, fine. I did the best I could. When the examiner showed up, let's make a long story short. Who was it? That very prof that I said I did not want. You know, like you want to look good, like, about God. He was obviously listening. And if you see the way he did it, he was not supposed to be my examiner. One man from Calabar was supposed to take me that day. As he approached my bed, demon possessed resident doctor who was those coordinating the exam jumped in between us and said, "Tea break, sir." But that man, I was thanking God for his life because the man was very nice. Okay, this is how you used to do. You come to the student's position, you say, "My name is Professor so and so and so. I'm a professor at the University of Calabar. I came from the teaching hospital to come my exam." He said, No, we are not enemies. I'm here to make you a doctor. Do you understand? You know, he will first calm you down. That way you'll say, like, God is with you. You'll be feeling like that. As the man was about to step to I was the next person. That guy just, a spirit entered him. He jumped between us. Bam! Said, "Sir, tea break. Your tea is already served, sir." Oh, the man said, "No problem." And the man walked away and I looked at my deliverance. So I said, "It's a break. He'll be back." So I was waiting for that guy. You know, we can speak in tongues. So I had, of course, it was a break. So I had like 15 minutes to go through my clerking, my examination, talk to my patient and everything. Then suddenly the curtain opened and it was not the one. It was that very man I said, "God, you didn't send." I looked at him and I looked at the Lord. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't. I knew God had. I don't know whether you get the point. When those two things happened, I knew he had. Let me summarize the story. That man I didn't want, when he was leaving, the last statement he made was, "That's my boy. That's my boy." Yeah, because he asked some questions. As soon as he asked, I still remember the answer. So that I can't help myself. I have to tell you the answer. The answer was hematoma. But I reserved it to the last. When he asked that question, I said, in my mind, this man wants me to say hematoma. I said, "No, I won't give it to him initially." I said this, Desi, and then I gave him the third one. I just dropped it. Ha! He said that. You know, the questions you have asked other people, they did not know. You now ask one guy, he just gave it to you. Ah, he nodded. That's my boy. That's my boy. I remember as I was leaving, I still remember one of my classmates who I met first. Her name is Cynthia. I was just walking here. Say, Banky, how was it? I couldn't answer her. I was shaking my head. That's the Lord here, though. The Lord, do you get my point? He answers prayers. What I'm talking about, he marks you. See, don't think it's a joke. He's marking you. He knows you. See, just pray in faith. He's marking you personally. That is, how do I get people to understand this? It's not a If I had issues, understand? Just know he's, look, when you want to pray, just know you are talking to somebody who is intelligent, who hears, who is concerned. I keep on telling Christians, you all know my children here. None of them will enter my room and be rolling up and down when they have an issue. I'll sit down like, Benga, what's going on? Daddy, I'm coming. You know, I'm going to call his mother. We prayed that these children will never smoke anything. So it can't be who they smoked. It's what you fed them. What is going on here? What is yours going to do? You know, I like the one your daughter did the other time. Ah, the thing was very exciting. I was talking with this man. The daughter came in. She just sat down. So, Daddy, we have finished the gala you bought for us. You know the next statement? But we are still hungry. I told her, that is the will of God. That is the will of God. It was the way she said it. Daddy, we have finished the gala. Yeah. But we are still hungry. It's like, come and do more, because that one didn't fly. There was no pacing up and down. She just came, sat squarely beside her father and just gave him the facts. The gala you sent is finished. Our stomach did not gauge. So you... No, I pray that Christians will learn to pray like that. I pray that Christians will learn. Just know that he's listening attentively. And I began of this by saying, no, we read a particular scripture. What's that scripture? Yeah, did you lack anything? A lot of us, just wake up in the morning and create problems. And please, can I say this? Stop buying unnecessary things on credit. And you'll be paying small, small. You buy perfume, you're paying small, small. Perfume. See, this is my life, eh? I've used cheap perfume. I've used very expensive perfumes. You know what I've noticed? They smell the same. See, there's no difference. There's no difference. See. They all smell the same. It's who's wearing them. Do you get my point? Look, if you don't feel rich, you don't look confident, go and buy the most expensive perfume. Nobody will believe it's costly. Nobody. But you know, people will have my kind of smile, my kind of beards, my kind of anointing. If we meet a house and say, nah, drop something for me there. And we run. When we come, say, Pastor, you smell like incense, which is not supposed to be. Where I'm going is that there are things you don't buy on credit. There are things you don't buy on credit. No. It's not allowed. They're too unimportant. If you can't buy them from pocket change, you shouldn't have them. You shouldn't. Please, let me just tell everybody, please, that's what I'm talking about. Don't manufacture problems. Don't just, you know, if God has given you peace, that's your level for now. I keep on saying, the people you are comparing yourself with, that's why I told the story of people I know, who they were going to school. So how much school fees? $15,000. It's cash. Okay, take. You know, so I don't, you know, just know, this is where God has kept me for now. Go there. Stop looking for admission in schools that it will strain you. You get what I'm saying? And please, let me emphasize it again. Don't use your knowledge to, it's still the same thing, to create unnecessary problems. Some of the things you are gunning for in life, they are vanity. No, I've talked about vanity before. What is vanity? It's not that thing itself that's vanity. What converts it to vanity is the effort you put inside it. The other day, somebody was doing video. I was showing it to my wife. They showed one man, no, this world is vanity. It's vanity. They showed a man is late now. At that time, they said he was one of the, in fact, they said he's the richest man in Nigeria in that season. They showed his car garage somewhere in northern Nigeria. I counted, all right? They were like, you know, S-class Mercedes-Benz. They were like, if I remember, 20-something of them. It's obvious they were bought the same time because they all bought the same model. Then added to them were some American limos, not stretch limo now, but limos, what the American calls limos. A few of them. And say, so you see, they're all run down now. They're run down. You know, this is a, she shows that this life is not worth pursuing. I told my wife, this is a nonsense video. I said, this is a rubbish video. All the cars there, I did a calculation. I told my wife, you know, I know the price of this. And I put the price for them. I said, let's estimate. I said, this is $6 million. I said, this is $6 million now. You just told me that the guy was the richest man in Nigeria. You buy a car for $6 million and you're doing video. What is wrong with you? You don't have work. It's like coming to my house and filming 20 pairs of shoes. And somebody now say, you see, life is not worth it. It's vanity. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I said, you just opened your mouth and said this man at a point in time was the richest man around. And you're not showing his vanity that he bought cars worth $6 million. What rubbish is this? Why you the only one showing me video the other day that Otedola was joking? I think it was the daughter's wedding. Uh-huh. They're having a dinner reception. So the man was not joking. Ah, so he said, look at Aliko, he's here. He said, he just came. I think Aliko just finished talking or something. He said, just talk like that. After all, we're not more than 100 here. I thought you would just give all of us $10 million. 100. He said, that's just $1 billion. You still have 79. And that's how he was yapping somebody that just came and made an empty speech. Instead of saying each person, take 10 million. Now, this is a man who one day got to walk to Ferrari shop, picked three Ferraris in three different colors for three daughters. In case you don't know, each car was $350,000. He was joking. So I thought this man would come and dash us $10 million. After I only about 100. So it should be more than $1 billion. You still have 79. So Dangote decides to buy, after buying 4,000 trucks, he buys only 40 S-Class Mercedes-Benz. Should you talk? If you talk now, but believe they worry you. Do you understand my point? Envy, necrotic intestine. Now they disturb. No one with all of that. What makes it vanity is not that it's cars. For that man, sorry, it wasn't vanity. Yeah, he didn't know the money he paid. The company can cover it. You know when it's vanity? It can even be a keke. Do you understand? It can be a Corolla. And you go, my father. That is when it is vanity. Do you get my point? The man that bought $6 million worth in cars in one day, and he didn't have to pray extra. That's not vanity. That's not the vanity Solomon was talking about. What I'm saying is that pursuing things, that effort, does not commensurate with the real value is what makes it vanity. If I stay in one place and breeze blows upon me, it's not vanity. If I start running to get after the breeze, it is the chasing after the wind. That's what makes me a madman. Do you get my logic in all of these things? So once you put effort, undue effort into anything material, you have just demonstrated it is vanity. And I'm telling you this fact. You know, I've been around a bit. I may not be a very rich man, but I've been around a bit. There is nothing, when you realize it, inside the difference in the comfort inside a car of $350,000, it's not three times that of $100,000. And it's not 10 times that of $35,000. It's not. I said, the day my wife and I landed in Lagos, and somebody came to pick us. And my wife, when they just ushered my wife to the car, and she waited, like, I've been waiting for when I kidnap me, my husband, they come. I got there. I said, no, go in. We sat down, and they drove us off. So my wife looked and I said, what car is this? I said, sweetheart, that's what it's called, a Rolls Royce. She now asked a question, say, so we're inside, now what's special about it? Like, yeah, it's like, is this all? I said, okay, don't spoil this thing. I'm like, yeah, enjoy it. But like, what is it now? No, really, it wasn't supposed to be, it's like, okay, how am I supposed to feel? They say, you see the videos, it's the ultimate in luxury. My wife asked me, how am I supposed to feel? And I said, and you know the funny thing? Three of us could not sit at the back. Yeah. That's not supposed to be an insult, just the way it's designed. Is it a good car? Yes. If you have money, should you buy one? I don't know. If you buy one, all I know is that if you come and tell me one day, I've told all of you listening to me,
Pastor, please come and dedicate my cow. You know I will dedicate. Now take me to where you packed a Rolls Royce. I will throw away my shame that day. And I will ask you, how much is my prophet's offering? I will. Because right now, that guy is 1.5 billion from Costa Rica. So I will ask you, and if that money mistakenly less than 10 million, the prayer I will pray for you, Father, thunder, fire! Let it burn, let it burn, let it burn. Come and disturb my soul to come and dedicate a car for 1.5 million. They cannot give me 10 million naira to buy suya. I won't pray for you. See, all of you just here now, because I may not be able to say that day. Just know my heart will not pray. My mouth might move, but my heart will not pray. Dami, tell them now. This guy, I get time where I dey provoke. You know, go and read Cretans. I was reading Titus. Paul said, correct them harshly. Don't take it easy. If you can buy 1.5 billion naira car, and you come that I should pray for you, I will let you know that I can be angry and I will cretanize you. I will treat you like a cretan. I ask whether they don't have common sense where you were born. That offering is less than 10 million. I mean, another thing, don't come and give me offering say for the ministry. I need ministry they chop. What kind of rubbish is this? Come on, go. Tell me, it's for the ministry. For the ministry. Ministry will pay my children's school fees, Abby. Ministry will buy a new car for my wife. I'm just warning you now. Don't come and tell me that you gave offering after buying Rolls Royce and say it's for the ministry. Yes, now. I just bring the car. Brethren, come and pay for this guy. It's for the ministry. Some people don't know. You're looking at, because some of us don't talk, we're just looking at it like, you go meet your own for front. Don't be me. What kind of nonsense? If you tell, no problem. If you tell me that kind of thing, Pastor, God bless you, sir. Hey, this is for the ministry. Bring money. You say, who can pray for the car? I'll just say, Judah, please, let me take that. Uh-huh. So, that's for the ministry. So, this guy who I sent now, where's his own? Sir, bring that ministry home, but give it back to him. Now, let God talk common sense into your head. Otherwise, I'm not praying this prayer today. You bring a road. And let me finish my talk. In fact, I'll preach later. Let's talk now. If you are, you know, one man was saying the other day, I dedicate jet. I don't have a problem. I can dedicate jet. But if you tell me to come and dedicate a jet, and you did not bring a G-Class and two Corollas and one Camry for the boys, I should pray for that jet. How will it fly? Bird strike, Father! Bird strike! No, what kind of rubbish is this? People just think that it's in prayer because we're not raising offering. You understand my point? Come and pray. What kind of rubbish prayer? I'm not praying. And if I pray, it will not work. Because my heart will not be in it. I just look around the brethren. Those of you who don't have cars, this guy dashed to a car and he wants to fly a jet. I tell, go and enter. You know the new rave in Nigeria now? Pilot to ask the air hostess, can we take off now? Say, no qualms. Thank you. You don't get the gist. That one, you go get qualms. That's what I'm telling you. You will have, I'm just saying now on record, all of you say, Pastor Banky, you've been a friend. The day you want to buy a plane, don't call me. You need it dedicated. I will not dedicate it. Unless I call tall reverend. Say, sir, you know that G-Class, that's the guy that bought it. He said, okay. What about the Corollas? Yeah, there are three of them. We have shared it out. The boys have taken one each. He said, okay. When you are finished, we'll not drive there. Say, you want to fly the plane? Yes, it can fly now. The brethren's hearts, they are aligned. They are with you. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Some people come and give you testimony. This word, I was very poor, but when I listened to you, now I'm flying. You're looking at the person. So I just came to say thank you. With empty mouth. You look at the guy. With empty mouth. You came to tell me thank you. You just told me now that you were very poor. Your cloth was dirty. Then you heard me preach. Now you fly all over. And then you came. I just came to say thank you, sir. You are a Cretan. You're a Cretan. That's all I have to say. You're a Cretan. You don't have manners. They did not teach you where you came from. Your father didn't flog you well.
He did not flog you well. He didn't. What kind of rubbish is that? Dami. These are the kind of people that will now provoke Dami to be preaching wrong doctrine. That will now say, if the first is holy, the rest is holy. What kind of thing is that? See, if you were poor, you listen to me until you prosper. Don't enter my house empty-handed. Don't be a fool. Don't enter my house empty-handed. I don't need your money. I don't need your gift, but you should have sense in your head. Actually, one young woman came one day. There was a shirt I used to have that time. Bold blue stripes. It wasn't an expensive shirt, though. Those days, when God first blessed me that time, man, I wore only Van Heusen shirts. Alright? My one Van Heusen could buy like 10 of what this guy gave me. See, the fact that I used to go and shop where they sell old shirts doesn't mean I don't like good ones. When God gave me the ability, I can show some of the pictures I took that time. When you see those glossing, white, pure cotton, they're not cheap. But this young man came. Yes, sir, I came to see you. Came all the way from somewhere in Delta. He said, I'll be traveling next week. I'm going to a vision school in Canada. What happened? He said, one day I was listening to you preach on radio. And you said, you know, the way people hear you, that blessings are spiritual. He said, that young boy, he said, that word hit me, sir. I entered into the spirit and collected my blessings. What does it mean? I don't know. All I know is that the young man said, a few days later, his uncle called. You have finished school now? Secondary school? Yes, sir. What do you want to do next? And he's thinking of this. The man said to him, do you like to be a pilot? He said, yes. He said, okay, I'm going to send you forms. Fill it. I'll pay. There's a school of aviation in Canada. I want to go to that school. The young man prayed today. A few days later, he had this conversation with his uncle. So he came. He rushed to Enugu. He said he intended to come and see me to tell me what happened. He's traveling a few days' time. He's going to school. He's going to be a pilot. There was that day he heard the message that he entered into the spirit to collect his blessing. On the way, he stopped at Onitsha, entered the market. I estimated my size. He bought two shirts. One had bold stripes. The other one was light pink. He said, sir, I just came to you. Young boy. It was not the kind of shirt I wore. Then I used to wear my shirt pure cotton. I gave one out, but that other one, I said I had to wear it. I wear my jacket on top. A number of people say, come, this your shirt is fine. I will tell the story. This your shirt is fine. I will tell the story. I wore that shirt not because of the quality, but because of what it represented. Let's preach our message. How did we get here? You know, this is just that. You don't even know. But anyway, I'm enjoying preaching. It's okay. And I hope you have been blessed.
Yes, sir.
People have to learn how to do good works. I was reading Titus this morning. That's okay. I was talking about Cretans. Yes. I just numbered a number of times. Kept on teach people how to do good works. But I began that by explaining that, Jesus said, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? And they said what? Nothing. They did not lack anything. And what I'm trying to explain is that God supplies. I just got taken off in that tangent when I was trying to emphasize the fact that we should not create unnecessary problems. God takes us through life stage by stage, step by step. He knows what he's doing in your life and in my life at each particular point in time. Don't create, that's what I was saying, unnecessary problems. Sometimes people say they want to know, is it faith or no faith, to just start reaching out for big things. You can ask God for anything. There are things I've asked God for. I can think about three of them now, which he has not physically done, manifested. But he knows I need them. Some of them I don't need, I like. God doesn't really give you what you need. Sometimes he just gives what you need. I just look and say, this thing is nice. What do you want to do with it? I don't know, but it looks like my father is rich. Do you get my logic? Yeah. So sometimes I treat him like that too. But I don't stress myself over anything. That's what I meant. I said, don't create unnecessary problems. Don't create unnecessary problems. If you would not create unnecessary problems, you will know that indeed God supplies all our needs. He does. James said that you have not because you ask not. And then when you ask, you don't receive because you ask wrongly. What does he call asking wrongly or asking amiss? He says because lust is what stimulated the prayer. Lust is what ignited that request. And then we're going to check what he called lust is comparison. It's comparison. That comparison, he said, don't do it. He said, when you do it, you create, you make it, let's say you create unbelief. You generate unbelief. You cannot ask in faith if your own, the one you want to ask is, in your mind. You know, there are things you're thinking, you're not saying. This person has done this. This person has done that. And that's what's bringing you. There's no purpose. There's no personal satisfaction. You know, that this is what I want to do with it in my life, that will further the purpose of God in me. Other people are now the yardstick for what I should do, I should accomplish, I should have. Ministers, I keep dropping words for ministers. It happens also. You look, this ministry has done this. They started only 5 years ago. Suddenly your prayer point changes. And like I say all the time, they have not stimulated you in good things. Like, young people are getting saved. They are getting saved and being delivered from bad habits. That has not challenged you. Just 5 years. And look at the amount of money or the kind of car their pastor is driving. Look at the building they now have. And that's your comparison. That is lost. Do you get my point? That is lost. But sometimes people can provoke you onto good works. You see, a ministry just started. Where they say nobody could enter. They've entered it. People are getting saved. They are. I tell you people, and we're afraid. They go to pray. Say, Father God, the grace that's upon this, my brethren, that means available to do your work. Give us our own grace so we can be effective. And you support them. You're not jealous of them. If you're a pastor, and let me tell you how your ministry will close on time. You know, I like to warn people. I have Jeremiah anointing sometimes. Amos anointing. There are different anointings for different days. All right? So my Jeremiah one is this. Once your ministry is competing and is envious, or sometimes, I've seen churches do it, is opposing another ministry, God will soon close you down. What do I mean? Pastor Kimite wants to do a program. You're afraid that if that program goes on, your members will leave and go and attend. Then you now do your own program at that same time. That, God says, you've served yourself notice. I'm shutting that ministry down if you don't repent. What should you do? Move your own program away. Go and meet him. Man of God. Wanted to do this, but this is the program you're doing. I know some of my guys, they like this, your lineup of ministers. Our program is supposed to be the following week. So let's just move on to the following week. We won't share this one so that my guys can go. Then please, brethren, carry money, cash, and give him. Bro, this is 5 liters. This is 50 liters of diesel from us here. Do you follow my point? Yeah, that is how God blesses people. That is why he blesses. When he sees such a good heart, take that money you are gathering for building project, take from it. Say the body of Christ is more important than brick and mortar. Say, take money for diesel. Last time I came, your microphone was not good. Let's lend you our own. If you are buying a new one, okay. Yeah, take. This is money to use to buy. There's no point doing a rival program. One day, one of my brothers told me a story. One pastor left their church. The person who took over from him is a big one of these churches that have branches. They started doing program every week. Inviting, they are trendy ministers. Preaching and music, they are there. They line them up for like the next 3 months. Every Sunday. Do you know why? So that members will not follow the man that left. And he was laughing at them, laughing at them. He said, oh, God, you know what we did? When this man left, we lined up 3 months. Every Sunday is from this man to this man, minister, so that their people kept on coming back till they are weaned off that man. I shook my head. I said, they should have read John. John said, a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. You shall have announced, if I was the one that, if you know me, that's the kind of thing I would do. Brother, you know our brother has gone. And it was a senior person there, it was the most senior. Some of us may be tempted to follow him. Please, don't feel bad. We are still the same body of Christ. If you feel that his anointing gels with you, God has sent you to go and assist him, please go. All we ask is that make sure you preach the gospel. Make sure you preach the truth. Gather people under the umbrella of Christ. And please, if you want to leave, don't dodge. I am not angry with you. Don't dodge. See me and let me know you are going. I will bless you before you go. I mean, just see, this, you didn't die for anybody. I hope you know. This church, you are, you won't carry it to heaven. No. And Jesus is there to scatter it. He will so scatter it. Even you will be scattered. That you. You that's trying to gather people, you'll be the first to leave. So relax. This life, you don't let competition inside your heart. And don't let envy. Kill it. Envy. My brother, Pastor Corey, God will bless him. He did something long ago. Not now. Should be close to 20 years. We came for our reunion fellowship, our alumni fellowship. We had a habit then. We don't do that anymore. Not because we think it's evil, just because now the number of people are so plenty. But then relatively we're few. I'm talking about over 20 years ago. So the thing evolved from a campus fellowship. That's alumni. So those days we used to have a reunion. So senior brethren would come. So they had the habit of introducing themselves. And one of the things you do is say what faculty you were in, where you were on campus, what department in the fellowship you served in, where you live now, where you work. All right? If you're married, you tell us. You know, just a brief introduction. Now, young people are young people. They are not evil people. They are just young people. They can be very silly sometimes. So somebody comes, introduces and says, I'm so and so person. I work in maybe Mobile. You see the hall. The young students, they will clap. You don't see clap. Whoa. What is it about Mobil? It's oil. It's money. I work in Shell. You see the clap. Then MTN was new. I remember MTN was new. I'm talking about 20 years ago. About 20 years ago. Somebody said, I work in MTN. See the clap. Things like that. It was not Pastor Corey's turn. A pioneer pastor in Sokoto. Not a branch pastor. He pioneered the ministry. He did something which was very funny. He came, when it was his turn, he took the mic. He said, I've noticed that if somebody comes forward and he says he works in MTN, all of you will clap. If I say, if they say I work in Mobile, all of you will clap. If they say they work in this particular bank, you guys will clap. He said, well, before I tell you what I do, I need you to clap first because... He said, let me collect my own. So he stood there, said, everybody clap for me, clap, clap. And they, everybody clapped. He said, hey. My name is Corey Jude. I'm the pastor of Love Revival Family in Sokoto. Of course, a church that he founded and started. He said, at least I've collected my clap. And he went to sit down. Some people under some circumstances, they start feeling uneasy. They start feeling like they have not made it. They start feeling poor. They start feeling disadvantaged. Before you know what's happening, they are always angry. I know the point is that you will not be angry with God who called them. When you were calling me, you didn't call me to Port Harcourt, so I can collect the tithes of these people. I mean, if I have only 50 of them in my church and they are tithing, I'm called. I'm called. Ministry has entered the permanent site. So now you now send me to go and collect tithe from headsmen. I was there that day, didn't feel anything. Everybody, obey the call of God for your life. This life, one day it will end. Even before it ends, one day you'll be old, you'll look back, and you wonder, what did I do with it? That is when you will look at all the money you have, everything you have achieved, and you will say, vanity. Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. Why? Because the vanitous part of you will be more pronounced before you, because you will know the things you forsook for these things. I say all the time, I'm giving God glory, I'm not giving myself glory. I think of the impact that a simple book like Choices, Key to Destiny, has had in the lives of people. And I ask those who listen to me, I say, would you rather I had a few billions of naira and not write that book? You can build all these houses. Eh? You know what I found out? You live in one room inside there. And big houses are so hard to maintain. They're hard to maintain. There are some things that God has given us to remind us of the vanitousness of large houses. In Enugu, it's called spider. Spiders in Enugu. Are you sure they have it like that in the rest of Nigeria? Finish doing your POP ceiling. Do it very well. Put the best light in it. The better your light, the more the spiders. Spider would just, where they used to come from, like spirits, your shop. And then help you put web everywhere. And go and clean it. That's your POP, eh? As you clean like this, that stain, eh? It's not going anywhere. You have to go and repaint that ceiling. After a while, you go look the cobweb, say, there's no need for violence. You stay there. With big house comes big trouble. To maintain it, eh? Hey, you will discover the vanity in it when you see what you sacrificed. A lot of who are called to ministry, I feel sorry for them. Because they are waiting, God, let me build the house first. Let me do this one first. See, you don't put the main reason God gave you life as an afterthought. When I've done other things, you don't. Do it. The other things you wanted to have, ask God for it. That's the reason God gave you life is primary. No matter, see, you are listening to me, it can be teach children, Sunday school, church, school, children evangelistic ministry, ministry so-called CEM. God said, go and meet them. All right? Let them train you. Stay in a high population. See, I can give you a house in Independence. Let's talk about Enugu. I can give you a house in Independence layout. That's not a problem. I can take in the best part of GRA or Banana Island. But I don't want you there. Go and stay in a high density area. I will give you a nice flat on the top floor. Stay there. Why? There are many children. See, a lot of those mothers you see run up and down, they don't have sense in their head. A lot of those fathers you see, they smoke. They use, alcohol. Yeah, teach one of them, fathered 5 children. Some people want to start church. They're looking for where they are rich people. God says, see, I put in a building. How many flats in that place? This is Nainugu. So you check, 8 flats. Count the children. Average 3 per flat. That's not your own. That's 7 times 3. How many is that? 21. Just think of other houses around. God says, if you just start clapping here, I will bring 50 children to this compound. That's your church. Somebody listen to me. That's the person's church. You have gone to Rima, I know. You have gone to Wolfby, I know. But God said, you know your church? Let's be honest. What you really wanted was this kind of Prado. And you can't park it on the street there. You know. So, brethren, my son, my daughter, you won't drive the Prado now. The one you are driving now, manage it. Pack it there. No, don't worry, I will guard it. Nobody will steal your battery. They won't steal your brain box. Yeah, they won't. But your side mirror will not go. If I'll just give you one old American car that nobody can pronounce the name self, just pack it there. Or go and get you one from Brazil or South Korea. But God said, don't pack out of that house. Don't. But don't just live in that house. Start your fellowship. The oldest person will probably be like 14, 15. You'll see children as young as 5 coming. All of them will listen to you. They will all listen. Hold your meetings once a week. Choose the day, Saturday evening, Sunday evening. Let me tell you something you realize about these things. Eh? If you've been in ministry, you will know that it's not marketing. Do you follow my point? It's not marketing. Some of the people that follow me closest in this life, you know the story they will tell you? I went to see a friend of mine. And while he was walking, something was playing on his computer. And I said, so I listened for 5 minutes. And I said, who is that? So that's my pastor. For this Lagos or whatever. He said, no, it's in Enugu. Can I get that message? The person copies. He takes it away, calls his friend. Can I get another one? He said, go to pastor.ng. Somebody has greeted me before. Say, are you Pastor Banky? Pastor.ng. That's how he greets me. Say, Pastor Banky. Pastor.ng. That's my name. Pastor.ng. He just says, go to Pastor.ng. The person will get there. Downloads. Free. I've told all you people that teach the word of God. open the website. You see, this is not at least so that if I want to say dummy says something, they know where to go and get more dummy. Organize it well. Well, God may do you differently, but that's what he did for me. I've had the website, should be close to 20 years now. The days when the messages were compressed to 15 kilobits. In fact, they used to compress between 8 and 15. Variable. A whole message. A 1 hour message, 10 megabytes. 15 megabytes. But now, if you on Spotify, we do 64 kilobits, and our website is 48, and the real one we store is 128. 8 to 15, variable. To my shock, when you see downloads, say, who are these people listening to this? Where I'm going is that I didn't market to anybody. You do promo, put big buzz anywhere. Nobody's looking at it. But see, where's our brother? His own. An angel tapped him and said, follow me. That's how I entered kingdom. What? Yes. How are we sure it's an angel? He said because he was in a low point in his life. Things had scattered under his feet. He walked away from his house, that former place where we used to be, and he came and stood there, downstairs. He didn't know where, upstairs. He didn't come, it was just, you know, your life just confusion, you know. Your life is not going where, everything has scattered in front of you. He's wondering whether life is worth living. So he stood there, you know, despondent, just stood. Then one man passed and tapped him. You, follow me. He said, till now, he wonders the foolishness. He followed a man he had never met. He did not know. And if you remember that place, the staircase was narrow. He climbed up and climbed up and climbed till he reached the top. He followed the man. The man told him to sit down. I was preaching. So he sat down. He listened to me preach. Then when they finished, the person bought a CD and gave to him. And the fellow left. Until today, he has never seen that individual again. And of course, the word he heard changed his life. Are you getting my point? It's not marketing. Do you get my point? It's not a promo. You know, you'll be inviting everybody to your church to help you draw crowd there. Pastor, your ministry will soon close. That's not what you need. That's not what you need. What I'm saying, I just need an idea of ministry. That building, start teaching children there. I have seen people that have children anointing. See, I don't have. I'm not pretending. But I've seen those that have it. You know, your jaw will drop. How they connect with children. And you know you have it. It's not everybody that needs a church of that where big men are coming out to park cars. 50 lives. 10-year-old, 15-year-old lives, 7-year-old lives, 50. And you are saying, what is the purpose of your life? You just found one. You just found. Let me tell you how they handle those lives. When you wake up in the morning, you will spend 30 minutes at least praying for them. Some of them come from dysfunctional homes. Very dysfunctional homes. Some of them have no direction, no rudder. Their father is the most confused creature on that street. And is the authority in their lives. Let's not talk about their mother. No, they are women. You wonder whether they are human. That who gave this one children? How? Like God. Why didn't you shut this womb? Because I know what I'm doing. I will plant one of my children in their neighborhood. Don't worry about it. Say, you are the reason why these children will not become prostitutes. You are the reason why these children will not become armed robbers. You are the reason why they will not go on drugs. Stop chasing money. If you go abroad, I will enjoy you. Don't get a better house. Stay in that complex. They've come to a house before. You thought they were hungry. They were not hungry. Yeah, you give some of them food, but they were not hungry. They were confused. They've seen their mother do things they didn't know human beings should do. One sister talked one day. My wife was alarmed. My wife and people, they went to speak in a women's program. He said, what are you all so talking? That she grew up, her mother used to bring men to their house. Yeah. And she was saying openly. The people are talking about growth. Say, what problems do people have that you are talking about problems? He said, see, as a child, my mother will bring men, different ones, to our house. And children are growing under such circumstances.
And you're looking for where somebody will give you constant power, constant light, constant all kinds of nonsense that Christians are pursuing and they are calling success in life. I say, stay there. That child that came that day, it just came to drink a different spirit. The air in the home was evil. But he thought he was hungry. So he gave him food. It was not food. One day, a class captain of mine, many years ago, crawling to 20 years now, entered my office one day. Class captain, how far? He said, nothing, sir. I just came to sit down. And I just understood. So I said, okay, sit. So I faced my work, and he sat down and put his head back. He wasn't sleeping. After like 15 minutes, he got up and said, thank you, sir. Then he walked away again. He just wanted peace. Later, when I heard stories about his life, I now understood. Life had choked him to a level. He said, what do I do? Let me just go to my guy's office. He came, sat down, just to drink the peace of God. You know, sometimes you see Christians pursuing, you know, silly things that is going on in this country. What is going on in this country is that many people need help. What is going on in this country is that many people are confused and have sent my children to the midst of them. And they are growing up and down looking for where life is better. A lot of people are angry with, eh? See, there are portions here, because I heard about this long ago. Police used to come and dump corpses of young boys they shot. What are they? Criminals, armed robbers, small boys. Then we found out that a lot of them, they are children of prostitutes. You don't get the point. They couldn't do different. You can shoot them 50 times, they will keep on multiplying. Because they grew up with, there was no morals, no direction, no father, nothing. The girls become harlots, the boys become thieves. You think God likes it? No, he doesn't. Go and read Jonah, you know he doesn't like it. Say, there are many people there, they don't understand their left from their right. That's why God plants us, his children, in different places. We are too earthly minded. We are too earthly minded. You know, God gives you one house, a decent house. God, and he's very careful. He gave you where there's water. He gave you where there's power. But you don't like the fact that when you go to this person's house, it's in a big compound. You can park 4 cars. And God is looking at you like this. So what these children I bring to your house, they don't count for you, Abi. So I came to Enugu, I've lived in quiet neighborhoods. I've never had neighbors' children come to my house to come and play. Do you understand my point? Of course, I have gates. I live in low-density areas. So I know you can't... Ask me, I know the name of only 2 of my neighbors on my whole street. The guy right next to me and the first man who had a house on the street. Those are the 2 people I know. Of course, each compound is 1 house, 3 children. 1 father, 1 mother, 1 dog. At midnight, competition of dogs. You not like it. I like this kind of area. Well, God's okay. So those 2 buildings, those 3 buildings, they're a total of 50 children. What happens to them? There's what is called making your life a sacrifice, a drink offering that's being poured out. Yes, God said, I can't relocate to a better house. It's not an issue for me. I can't. But what happens to these 50 kids? You are going to be the father they have. You are going to be the mother they have. So I forbid you, you are not parking anywhere. After you've heard this message, what will happen is that money will start flowing into your hands. Yeah. You know the reason? It's a very terrible test. You now realize you can afford where you wanted to go to. Willie Akonde said, God did that to him one time. He checked. No money. He cried. So God, you brought me to Boko. So he said, I'm leaving. I go come out. No, the kind of way God said, yeah, go now. You know, next thing, somebody knocked on the door and gave him a banker, gave him a whole month salary. Say, they just paid us. And as I just saw my money, I realized that I needed money. So I feel like the Spirit of God said, I should come and give you this money. God said, you think I kept you here because of no money or I can't bring money? He said, okay, good. Take money. That's your transport fare. William Connie said, you know, I told you earlier when I was praying, I know God helped me. Billy Akoni said, he looked at the money, told the brother, he just knew what had happened. In his mind, God, I'm very sorry. Wait, we'll talk after. Hey, bro, you, be going.
He said, no, but God said I should give you this money. He said, no, take the money and go. That one said, Nalayo, you must take this money. Black one, oh God, please, I'm begging you, take the money. So you don't understand. That day, he saw the day of the Lord. God said, you want to go, Abby? Hey, take money, I brought money now. No, be transport for you, defined. Now I went and begged the Lord, sorry. I don't want money again. I will stay. Where do you want you to stay? Here. I can't remember the story now. Was that when he said, the little fellowship we had now scattered? Maybe somebody spread the rumor, everybody now stopped coming to church. Now look like, God, let's take this thing easy. This chastisement, it have do, like we say. It may happen to somebody. After you've heard a message, the instruction of the Spirit like this, God said, now, money has come. Now abandon these 50 children, let me see. All right, they're not up to 50, they're just 15. All right, 10, 30, but they are 50. You just have not seen the balance of them. Do you want to abandon them or you want to open your doors? At such time, when jobs come, contracts, business to give you extra money, but they will take you off at the fellowship time. You have to explain that, no, I can't take it. Why? I'm a father or I'm a mother to 50 children. This is the time we meet. That is when God says, you see this extra money? If you don't rent a house, then go and buy a bigger cooking pot. Go and buy a bigger, what do you call it? Cooker. Make sure it can bake well. Your cylinder is how many kg? It's at 12.5. It's too small. Make it 50. Drop it downstairs. Why? Because you go cook, you go tire. After a while, you start teaching your own children to bake. You will do all kinds of things. But remember, it's a mission. It's a mission. God will say, all these children, if they come, they must be food. It's the word of God they came for. It's for adults. For children, they must be food. Bring the older ones, tell them to come early to join you to cook, to have fellowship. Next thing, they start calling you mommy. They start calling you daddy. It's good. Some of them will come one day. You've not gone to school? No. Why? My daddy said, it's money. There's no money. The Lord said, you will pay. Ah. You will pay. Don't worry. You have money. See this house, eh? You will live there for 30 years. Don't worry. Your children will go to school. They will be blessed. They will go to university. But you will stay here. I'll be turning over the children. You just know that none of them is ever really more than 15. Because by that time, they've entered university, they've gone. And that set is coming. By the time you're done, you will have been a father, a mother to hundreds of children. And they will all call you mommy. They will all call you daddy. Don't worry. Give them the food. Is it money, yo? Just keep that. That's gas cooker. I will change it regularly. Oh, I always change the gas cooker. Once this one, in fact, new model, now you're going to get latest model. They will bring it again. 50 kg gas, put it down there. Every weekend, you're cooking. That, of course, the main thing is what? The word of God. It's prayer. It's fellowship. But then because they are children, other things will go with it. You will do parties. Some of them, they will never see a birthday party. You hear Mumia's testimony? One of the reasons why she joined our fellowship on campus. So it was her birthday. She was writing jam. She told somebody, do you know today's my birthday? I think it was Brother Marcel. Next thing, just that one dragged her by the hand, dragged her to a female hostel. This sister's birthday. Said before you knew what was happening, cake came from nowhere. Said she had never had a birthday party all her life. Like nobody. No, she tells the story, so I can say it. Then who remembers to have a birthday? Just mentioned a party to somebody. Next thing, they had dragged her to the hostel. She came to write jam. They had dragged her to the hostel. Said cake showed up from nowhere. Drinks showed up. People were clapping. They were praying for her. They were celebrating birthday for somebody who came to write jam. What am I explaining? See, you have to understand the situation of your life is not just about you. There are people when God sent Paul into Nigeria, I mean, those men left something behind. No, his daughter passed on a few days ago, about a few weeks now. All right. How old was she? 94. Or more. 91? Okay, so some 90. See, 91, 94. Same. I mean, what's 3 years amongst brethren? She was in her 90s. Came down to Nigeria with her father when she was like around the age of 10 or 13 thereabouts. She was a small girl. Lived since that time till now and never married. And poured her heart, her life out for the people of this nation. Just like her father did. I keep saying, Paul, which house did he have left behind? We don't know. But which letters did he leave behind? Half of a New Testament. We talk about piety all the time. Which house did he leave behind? We don't know. But which men did he leave behind? People like us are great grandchildren. And that's what life is about. Life is not about what I can get, but what I can what? Give. Let's take a moment and pray. Listen, we'll analyze that scripture next time. Let's take a moment and pray. Just pray. That's all I can say. Just pray. Let me just leave you to pray. Just take a few moments. I'm not going to say anything. You just need to talk to the Lord. Just pray. Pray. Few more minutes, just pray. Now let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just give thanks. Round off your prayers and give the Lord thanks. Round off your prayers. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. There's nothing like having purpose in life, having direction. Being corrected, being led aright.
Father, we thank you. Your word is true. Father, we thank you for divine direction. We thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord, because you have helped us. You have brought us thus far, and you are helping us forward. Thank you for the impartation of your spirit to every man here, every person who has participated in this message, every person who has listened here, and abroad, we say thank you. Blessed be your name, everlasting Father. Our lives are changed by reason of your impartation. Our lives are transformed. Blessed be your name, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.